Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Join the conversation.
Call 1-300-01-1170 or text 0457-736-736.
Welcome to the Show and Go with Jimmy Galvin and Drew Mitchell on SEN.
Welcome to the Show and Go on SEN with myself, Jimmy Galvin, and I'm joined by a new guest today. Unfortunately, Drew Mitchell and his very shiny white shoes are elsewhere doing on Channel 9 duties, but I am joined by James Nielsen, a Queensland rugby legend from the club rugby scene. How are you? He's an absolute dribbler too, so get ready for a Sunday.
Good, mate, good. Queensland rugby legend is probably a long way to draw, and well, too far, but no, dribbler is certainly accurate, and rugby tragic definitely as well.
Yes, mate, and you've had a bit of time playing over in Asia as well.
I have, mate. So the experience piece aside, I got the white shoes on today, and if our Stan Sports commentary team has taught us anything, that's all you need to talk rugby. But fair bit of time overseas. Spent about 10 years over there, and rugby was a gateway to mates and friendships while I was over there. Started a team in Korea. Started the Tens League there as well, which I think still goes on today. So 10 years post living there, and Singapore, obviously, the game's much more established there, and we see that with the rugby sevens taking place, and they draw good crowds there as well. So established teams there, played for Bucks. So shout out to the Bucks boys if I managed to convince any of them to listen today.
How good, mate. Well, mate, we have a massive show on this brisk Sunday morning down here in Sydney. We've got Lachie Swinton joining us, Wallaby back rower, out injured at the moment. So we're keen to learn a little bit more about those injuries, particularly after the Waratahs game last night. Get a bit of insight in there into that absolute thriller. And we've also got the top five stories in rugby. And let's go into the tight five now, James. Closing the gap with Kiwi rugby. That seems to be a very prevalent story in the press, in the rugby press at the moment. How far off are we from the Kiwi sides from what you can tell this year?
Oh, it's a yearly talking point, isn't it? Look, I think if you look at the teams this year, the one that we expected to probably do the best in term, like coming into the season and certainly how they started, the one we probably expected to do the best was the Reds, right?
Yeah.
If you take a cold, hard look at the facts, though, they've got nothing to show this year over 2021. We're five donuts against the Kiwi teams again. With a couple of games we probably should have won in the Chiefs and the Highlanders. The teams that we probably didn't expect to do so well. Goodness me, the Plucky Force. Look at what they've been doing and some of the results they've put up and the narrow misses they've had. The Tars.
Yeah.
What was it, 14 donuts last year? We're going into the final. Well, they're going into the finals. Don't know if I can jump on that bandwagon being a Queenslander, but I certainly will if they keep going on the way they are. And the Brumbies as well, kind of back to a bit of typical Brumbies form. But, yeah, the Reds.
I think the thing with the Reds is that we weren't expecting them to be exposed for a lack of depth this
they
year.
Have been.
Yeah, and they and some of their top players are out at the moment. But in terms of, I suppose, the metrics against the Kiwi teams, I think that's what we saw last night with the Blues against the Waratahs, and what the Kiwi sides do have the edge on us in, and that's the ability to bring development players through the system that can take anyone's spot.
Well, yeah, I mean the baby Blues, right, getting it done last night, but. That's what great teams do, right? They find a way to win. And what that was, Brumbies the week before, was that a drop goal to win it as well? Last night, the drop goal to get it, and I didn't think he was going to slot that. Can you remember his name?
Zahn. What's his name?
I can't remember it. I don't know if he deserved to be the one that got to seal the win.
He kicked about three balls out on the full, and he managed to be the hero in the end.
But great drop goal with about eight Waratahs in his face. So, but that's what great teams do.
Yep.
That's what the Kiwi teams seem to keep doing is finding a way to win. But certainly a strong finishing Tars outfit there. In any case, and just more of what we've seen from them in the last. Few weeks, the Reds seem to have started strong this season and then dropped off into nothingness, and the Tars have gone the other way. And look, it's not just their on-field performances. What a culture they're building around team as well. I mean, and the fans getting behind it as well. That's two games at Leichhardt, which would have to be the biggest crowds we've seen in Australian rugby competitions for years. I mean, 15,000 versus what we see at the other ones. It's fantastic.
It was Zane Sullivan, the fullback, that slotted that left-footed drop goal over as well.
Quiet game up to that point. But
Fantastic mullet, though. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
Next up on the tight five, mate, some big news with Israel Folau in the mix for the Tongan side, and some of the names that are being thrown around that Tongan side that could potentially go out in the Pacific Nations Cup.
Yep.
We've got an Australia A side playing there as well.
Yep.
Tonga, could they be the sort of style Japan at the Rugby World Cup next year and maybe take some scalps?
The short answer is no, I don't see it.
You don't think so?
Look, take some scalps, yes. Not any big scalps, though. Look, on the flower piece, him specifically, no real opinion on that. I think he's a bit of an oxygen thief. I just think the way he left the game was a very, very average, all the legalities aside, just the way he handled himself. But those eligibility rules in general, yes, a very, very good thing. And I do think we're going to see those teams be better for it. Though in saying that, you look at Fiji, for example, they've always kind of been wall-to-wall superstars. You get those returning players come back to the team. But I think in today's game, superstars isn't enough to get it done. We see how close Fiji often comes, but it's that ability to be able to drop back, play the up-the-gut stuff, go to ground, build phases, and we haven't seen that necessarily from even Fiji yet, and they're definitely the pinnacle of those Pacific Nations teams. So, yep, a bit more depth in their teams, but is that
I think world enough? Rugby needed that, though, that eligibility change. Yeah. To strengthen the Pacific sides who give so much back to world rugby. I think it's some crazy percentage, like 70% of players around the world in all forms of leagues are Pacific Island players.
Yeah. They contribute an enormous amount to the game. Yeah. I mean, you only have to look at us in New Zealand, right? But again, my point would be is that enough? Is having superstars in the team enough? And look, my argument would be no, it needs to be a consistent playing group that's playing together week in, week out. Being part of the Super Rugby is definitely going to give them that going forward where they haven't had that before. Is it enough? Is it enough? Yeah. Are the superstar players enough?
Fair enough. Well, next up, we've got the head contact rules, which has been a bit of a stickling point in Super Rugby this year. We've seen more red and yellow cards than we've ever seen in Super Rugby. Mm. And a lot of it's coming down to these variations in the laws about head contact. Are they getting it right?
Look, yes. I think generally the balance is right. I think we see some, from time to time, you see some ludicrous examples. It escapes me right now, but it was a couple of weeks ago. Oh, it was one of the Tars boys entering a ruck and his arm caught the head of a defender. It was such innocuous incidental contact and we saw a card given for that.
Mm.
Those examples aside, I think we do see some smart, thought-out decision-makers by the officiators. What was the example last night?
I think Hooper,
escaped sanction. And it was the right call.
Yeah, and there was one on Jakey Gordon as well where he was falling to the ground. It was hard to sort of miss contact with his head if he's falling into it. And I think it's all about the intention. And also one of the big rules, one of the big points of mitigation is that if you're coming from a distance, how much force is involved in that if you're the defending player?
Well, they want to see that bending of the hips, right? If you're not making an effort to get low, you get they're going to decide against you, right? If you're making that effort to get low, then so be it. But I think the bigger issue is they need to get more efficient around the officiating of it, where they're getting the balance right in cards, I think, but we're taking too long to arrive at those decisions. We've got an 80-minute game of rugby. We've got 30 to 40 minutes of time where the ball's in play, and we're competing for eyeballs against League, for example, and they've got the ball in play for 70, 75 minutes out of their 80 minutes. So
yeah, it slows down too
much. I think rugby's always been the thought leader on head contact and player welfare, and that's an admirable thing, but we've got to get more efficient at officiating it and not taking so much time out of the game, and I think that's the bigger issue.
Yep, fair enough. Good point there. Number four. Our Australian Aussie Women's World Champions.
How good, mate.
Have absolutely dominated the Women's World Series this year. Let's have a look at this.
Gold.
Dubai gold, Malaga bronze, Sevilla gold, Langford gold, Toulouse silver.
Did you see the Langford final?
I did. It was manic. It was crazy.
Fantastic. I mean, the end there. Look, I mean, if I was going to play devil's advocate,
here we go.
Heart over skills, probably, a little bit. I mean, you see the Kiwis, and they are, I mean, it's almost flogging a dead horse at this point, right? They're so drilled. The contact, always winning the contact. They're securing their own ball. The pass is always, passes are out in front. They're on the chest. Whereas the Aussies won it at the death there with just heart. But, I mean, great teams are built around heart, right? I mean, goodness me, the Queensland Maroons thrown back to league again. Their entire history is littered with gutsy wins. But that's what the girls did. I mean, again, got it done, left a wake of Kiwis on the deck in behind them, and that's great to see.
They've built such a good culture in that Aussie women's sevens team over the years. I mean, led by Sharni Williams there. I know she's come home with a
captain fantastic. She's been brilliant.
You should see the black eye she has on her at the moment. It is brutal. It's, an eerie sight. But that just goes to show how physical the game is, particularly for those women's sevens girls. But, Gold medal champions in the first Olympics. Now they're starting to find that form again. Let's hope they can keep it up.
Look at those results. I mean, it's just it's silverware every single round. I actually didn't know that. I'm a bit ashamed I didn't.
Oh, well, look at that.
Goodness me.
Well, look, our fifth and final point is actually the Australia versus England series, and we're going to touch on that a little bit later in the show. We've also got Lachie Swinton coming up in the show and our Super Rugby Wrap. If you want to call in, give us a call on 1300 01 1170. Or shoot us through a text, 0457 736 736. We'll be back with you soon.
Join the conversation. Call 1300 01 1170 or text 0457 736 736. You're listening to The Show and Go with Jimmy Galvin and Drew Mitchell on SEN. Time now for the Super Rugby Wrap on The Show and Go.
Welcome back to The Show and Go on SEN. No Drew Mitchell today. He is over at Channel 9 doing the Sunday Wide World of Sports show. But in his place, dribbler, but what a great man, James Nielsen from up at Queensland
Too
Club
kind,
Rugby.
Mate,
oh, he's very good. And dribble, I'll tell you what. Point. He has a good rugby knowledge, brain, but he's also got even better banter. And when we when we have a look at our Super Rugby Wrap this week, James, I had the pleasure of watching nearly every single game with you, or at least getting some fantastic text messages through each game as well, and updates on your thoughts. Mate, kicking off over in Christchurch, your boys, the Reds, went down 15-28 to the Crusaders. For me, probably the toughest game to watch for the weekend. It just lacked a bit of flow, maybe got a little bit of flow at the back end of the game. But Crusaders are a classy outfit. It was an ugly game, but it just was Crusaders-like as well. Even when they're off, they're still winning games by a pretty solid amount.
Yeah. For me, it's just kind of dogmatic adherence to this real structure game that Thorne seems to be having the guys play. And I think it's to the point where it's curtailing a bit of creativity. And when things stop going to plan, the guys being able to kind of make their own decisions out there, right? We saw it against the Chiefs the other week, a game that we should have won. And Brad Thorne's prickly halftime interview where he really kind of bit at the question of, are you going to change it up and do anything more interesting in the second half? And it was a big old no.
Yeah.
We're going to keep playing structure. And yeah, look, I think we kind of saw that more last night, though, in the second half. The Reds had opened up a little bit. They got to play their game, and they did better. Look, I will say this for the Reds, 21-3 at halftime. I think most fans were probably expecting another Aussie rugby capitulation and a 45-3 scoreline.
Yeah.
They did come back and win that second half, I think 12-7, but just, again, silly mistakes killing us. A bungled 5-minute.
There was a lot of mistakes in that game. It was hard to really get yourself into, but you know, let's hope the Reds are in the finals. I think James O'Connor's half a chance to be back for that one, and I think they're really missing him. They're really missing Tupou.
Yeah.
It's showing. Yep. It's really showing. And that's not to say that Crichton, the 10, is doing a bad job either.
He's a young not getting enough support,
through.
Though.
Yeah.
Tate keeps saying it after every week. We've got to get around him. Last night he found himself in space and there was no one there with him. And when they're under a bit of pressure too, he's finding himself facing defenders coming at him from everywhere, and he's got little options inside or outside him. The guy's getting jammed a lot. And you don't want to see that for what is such a young prospect, right? You don't want him to develop any kind of fear. You don't. Well, here we go. Wallabies is there a flower up on the screen? Anyway, you don't want to see that. You want to support these young tens coming through. He needs that. He can't be left standing out there, flapping in the breeze.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the next up on the Super Rugby Wrap was the Fijian Drua versus the Chiefs. That was an absolute belter in the end over in Suva. First, 35-34, a huge late push from the Fijian Drua. Exciting game, but why I love that game so much, James, is the atmosphere over in Fiji.
Oh, they are
it was
loving
absolutely
it,
thumping.
Same, Same with Moana.
Yeah.
The supporters of both those teams. Shame COVID means they've been robbed of a few home starts this year. But can you imagine next year? I mean, they'll be so much better for this season.
Absolutely.
They get a few games at home. Boy, they'll be hard to beat.
The draw, though,
very reminiscent of the national team. They can play razzle dazzle with the best of them, but they look like they're trying to score off every single play.
I thought what was interesting about the draw to finish the final round games of Super Rugby, where I'd seen a lot of growth for them as a team was defensively.
Yep.
Their structures were strong.
Yep.
They weren't rushing up in the line in different parts. They looked like a strong defensive outfit. And I think for their first year in the Super Rugby competition, I think they've definitely... when you look at them on the bottom of the table, you would usually not say that's a pass mark.
No.
But I think you can't expect much more in your first year of Super Rugby with
COVID,
the best teams in the world, all the disruptions.
Away from your fan base and away from home for so long.
I'm interested to see where they sit next year in an uninterrupted season, fingers crossed.
Yep. Well, they do need to get back to doing the hard yards. They do. We saw it from
in attack.
We saw it from Moana. Yes.
Yeah. Building phases.
Willing to build those phases and not trying to score off every single play. Also, look, it's an 80-minute game and against the Kiwi teams. I think there was an example in the 60th minute. Drew on the attack. The players at the front, they kind of stood up, have a look, and Retallick picked it instantly.
Yeah.
And the Kiwis will, and they counteract and absolutely smash them off the board. And it was just a momentary lapse of conversation by the Drewer. Just that slight difference in professionalism, I guess you could call it if you wanted to, and the Kiwi team capitalised. The Chiefs capitalised, blew them off the ball, completely stopped momentum, It's those little moments that make or break games. But love seeing Suavoli. Seeing a big man get some meat at the end there.
That was gorgeous.
Fantastic. Yeah.
In full flight. Well, it'll be interesting to see how the Chiefs turn up against the Waratahs next week in Hamilton in the quarters. Next up. Shock loss. Moana Pacifica over the Brumbies, 32-22.
Yep.
Deserved winners as well.
Absolutely. Where's that Moana? Goodness me, that was a complete 80-minute rugby performance.
They had their captain, Sikopi Kepu, in his 150th Super Rugby game.
It was looking shaky when he went,
red carded early. It wasn't looking good to start with, but geez, the Brumbies were mistake. Just riddled.
Oh, yeah. It was the worst performance of theirs of the year. But don't want to take anything away.
No.
Very, very good from them.
It was unlike them. And I think it's a bit of a concern for the Brumbies at the moment to be stringing together the performances they have in the past few weeks.
Yeah.
I think
two losses or three on the trot now.
I think it's two. They had Bowden knock it over last week for the Blues with a drop goal at the end there. And then this week was just they travelled poorly.
Yeah. Well, it's just sloppy stuff, and Moana made them pay. Even with Kepu, Sikopi being red carded. When was that? God, like inside the first 10
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, I'd say around the 10-minute mark.
They got on with it. Lealofana stepped up with some good kicking games. They did what we were just lamenting for the Drua not doing.
Yep.
They went up the guts, they set phases, then they played the razzle-dazzle and let some of their outside backs go loose, but they earned it first. They did the work to earn it first, and... Look, terrible performance by the Brumbies, but a great 80-minute showing by Moana. Like,
it'll be really interesting
class.
To see how the Brumbies show up next week. I think they will have got an absolute rocket from Dan McKellar, and I think they know that would not have been...
A double yellow card as well, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they'll have the Hurricanes at home. They still maintain their home final next week. I think the Brumbies fans will turn out in droves.
Do we? Is that dependent on the Rebels versus Highlanders game?
It is indeed. Oh, no, I think that one's locked in now. I think that one's locked in. I think it's just the final quarter.
I think they might have lost their fourth place on the ladder with that. They may have. I don't know.
We've still fortunately got some rugby to look forward to today that could shake up that finals. But it is going to be interesting to see if they do get it at home. I reckon they will bounce back. If they are the only team, Aussie team with a home final. Next up, last night, heartbreaker for me. As you know, the Waratahs, 17-all, the buzz is gone. Zane Sullivan knocks a field goal over to win the game under pressure. The game itself, James, I thought it was decent.
Yeah.
You know who came out of it for me as, gee, I didn't realise how integral he was to the Waratahs setup. which is, was Dave Parecki, the hooker for the Waratahs. When he went down, I just felt like, I mean, the line-out still worked great, but he's just got such a presence around the field in carrying the ball. Our set piece is really solid. I'd say Archer Holds wouldn't be too happy with his performance with three back-to-back penalties in the scrum in a row before halftime, before getting hooked.
Yep.
Hard for a young prop to deal with, but what I did notice is as well, he dropped his bundle, James.
Yeah.
He got overly emotional with the situation.
Yep.
And he had it written all over his face.
Kept talking to the ref. Kept talking to the ref. Down the field. Yep. Couldn't let it go. You need to let it go and move on.
Do you know, I think that's probably more like why he got hooked than the actual mistakes themselves.
Yeah. Well, that's being young, right? Yep. I mean, hasn't been there for a long time. That's the kind of stuff that you learn. And yeah, I mean, I don't think you'd ever see it from him again, right?
Yeah.
I mean, other things. What else do we learn from that game? I mean, the Kiwis, clutch performances, teams fight.
Well, it was a reserve team from the Blues as well. So I think that's the depth showing from those guys. But I don't think the Waratahs will be, look, they'll be disappointed with the loss. It doesn't overly affect what's going to happen to them. They weren't going to have a home final.
Yep.
I think they would have preferred to have the Brumbies in Canberra.
Yeah. And just what about Mark? How do you
Noanga Tuisasa. Oh,
Marky
Mark. That's why he got the nickname Marky Mark.
Let's go with Marky Mark. But hasn't his reinvention in 2022 complete?
Yeah, I mean, it's great to see. He's playing with a lot more confidence.
Good. He is a finisher. He's brilliant.
And then last up, the Force, Western Force over in Perth with the late kickoff at 10 p.m. last night. Getting up over the Hurricanes, fantastic game there. Nice way for them to finish the season and put themselves in contention for that last eighth spot.
And I don't know if it's just being Aussie rugby fan, but for me, game of the round. I mean, that was the Force, hard-nosed, up the middle, rugby as well, but then some really good attacking flair as well. Men in motion. It was class. It was class.
Men in motion.
Men
that
in
could,
motion.
That could be a good, Men in good motion. Boy band name for us if we ever go there. And potentially the final games for Greg Holmes, Richard Kahui as well. You know, it's and also Jeremy Thrush that's playing for them. A trio that's absolute journeyman. Let's hope that we get to see them in the final of the Force because with that last game there at home, I think they deserve that last slot. But
I think the Rebels will be taking
the Rebels have to Rebels have to do them a favour today.
Yep.
Well, coming up on the show and go today, James, we've still got Lachie Swinton that's going to be up for
looking
a chat
forward
on
to
the
that,
news.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it too. A bit of a hard man. You see a bit of yourself in him?
Being very, very kind. But yes, sure.
I'm looking forward to that that chat too. And we'll have a look at the quarterfinals and a bit of Wallabies chat too. You're listening to The Show and Go on SEN. We'll see you back after the news.
Join the conversation. Call 1300 01 1170 or text 0457 736 736. You're listening to The Show and Go with Jimmy Galvin and Drew Mitchell on SEN.
Hello and welcome back to The Show and Go on SEN with myself, Jimmy Galvin, and today joined by James Nielsen with Drew Mitchell. Oh, I don't know, he might be out having a latte or something like that. Can never quite keep up with him. I'll tell you who I can keep up with though. It's Lachie Swinton, who joins us on the line now from the New South Wales Waratahs and Wallabies. Swinno, welcome to The Show and Go, mate.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks for having me, lads.
Mate, nice and early on a Sunday morning for you. Must be feeling fresh and crisp.
Nah, I'm all good. I'm off the grog for a bit, so I'm very fresh. Ready to go.
Good man. Mate, bit of a tough loss for the Tars last night out at Leichhardt. How do you think the guys are feeling this morning? What was the feeling in the sheds? Were you guys gutted or did you take a fair bit out of that?
Yeah, obviously we took a fair bit out of it, but yeah, bro, a drop goal at the end to lose that, definitely gutted.
Yeah.
I think a game like that to beat the Blues number one, to lead into finals, it would be great for the confidence. However, still in the finals and still well in the mix, it's you got to win your games through to the finals. So we're still well in the mix, like I said, and Darren was pretty clear on that we've got to learn from what our learnings yesterday, but we've got to move forward.
G'day, Lachie. James here, mate. One of Jimmy's rugby dribbler mates filling in for Drew. Mate, look, with learning those lessons, what were they? What were the kind of couple of positives you guys are going to take out of last night into next week? And what do you need to tighten up?
I reckon the positives is around the set piece. Our lineout's been a strength and especially compared to last year, it's come so far. So that's been a real good strength, which I think we need to keep focusing on more as well. And then getting the ball to the edges, people like Mark, who absolutely killed it last night, having those people to actually execute and score points is really beneficial. And then if a couple of things we can work on, I think just defensively, we've been really good at it all year. So I'm not saying it's a problem, because it's been a strength of us, our just defensive sets and how clean they've been.
Yeah.
But I think just a full 80-minute defensive performance is key there. I think a couple points here and there we lapsed and gave them a couple metres here and there, and just throughout the phases they gained a fair bit of ground, especially in our 22. But it's nothing. It's not huge, big fixes, just little tweaks, and got a few sore bodies. So, especially this morning, it was a nice physical game. So, they're really keen for the final series coming up. So,
mate, speaking of sore bodies, a frustrating season for you so far. I've been devastated for you, mate, because you've been dealing with an injury, which is a tough one to put a timeline on, with nerve damage in the shoulder at the moment. How frustrating has it been for you just waiting and just, you know, grinding your teeth to get out there? And, mate, no updates at the moment on improvement. Are we going to be able to see you in that gold jersey against England?
It's obviously a really tough one. But I've kind of come to grips with it now. It's a kind of ad-lib time frame. I don't know what's going on, but... could look at a little operation to kind of spark it up in the next month. So as the England series comes along, I don't think so. But potentially, I don't know, if it comes back at the end of the year, that'd be great. But in my sort of mind and vision, I've completely focused on next year. I've stripped my game back. I've looked at footage at areas that I need to improve on. I sit down with our skills coach. And there's a fair bit of stuff I can make improvements around my ball carrying that. So I've realised that. And
good on you, mate.
I reckon I could be better for this coming along on. So, yeah.
Looking ahead then. Next week, looking like the Chiefs at this stage. Obviously got it done at home a few weeks ago. Can the Tars get it done against next week?
Over in Hamilton will be tough as well.
Oh, it'll be massive. It's a huge ask. But if the Tars are to get it done, obviously, even as a Queenslander, I'm still barracking for them. But who obviously needs to be a team performance? You've spoken about 80-minute defensive efforts. Who are the danger men for the Tars, though? Marky Mark, brilliant last night. Who else has got to kind of stand on their head and then really get the boys home?
Yeah, well, like, you think, you look at our games throughout the year, and it's just those I feel like they've been really good this whole year. Jake Gordon at nine, steering the ship, and then Tane, when those two guys are on, which they have been for the whole year, I reckon. But when they're on and clear, it just really makes the whole team performance really tying together. And then you got Jed in the forwards, who's been phenomenal.
He's been in great form, hasn't he? You must love seeing that. Yeah.
He's the Waratah boy of the season.
Exactly, a great athlete, and to watch him do his thing has been great. And of course, you got, when you look across the whole team, really, you got like Belly in the front row, and you got Jed, Ned, like Hoops, like Gamble. There's some impressive players throughout the whole squad. That's just the forwards, I mean, by say, but there's some great all the backs as well. So, I just reckon Jake and Tane steering the ship, and then everyone just really bringing their game, which I know they will, because the importance of this is massive.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like a completely different culture at the Tars this year. And even though you may not be on the pitch, mate, I have seen you off the pitch in a bit of construction wear actually recently, checking out the new stadium. Firstly, you rocked it well. You were looking good, Swinno.
I was going to say how that looked.
Yeah, you look better at a Tars Mad Monday than I saw you at once, mate. Mate, you must be looking forward to, when you're casting an eye out to next season, getting into that new stadium, albeit Leichhardt's been good for you boys.
Yeah, Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, like it's obviously been awesome. The fans out there have been phenomenal and watched that kind of grow. I've had a great view of it on the sideline from round, whatever the first round we played. It was against the Reds, I think. Reds and Force who kind of started to play out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just grown and it's grown into something great. And that kind of, I think it's between a stadium ground and a club ground, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's awesome to watch footy out. I don't know if you guys got out there, but the atmosphere is like really close to the action and it's a real, it's really like kind of locals type setup, which is awesome. But then on the flip side, we have our new facility coming in as well at the end of the year. And then we've got the new SFS and that will just really be awesome to get the players in there. From what I saw with my hard hat on, it's going to be something special, a really new age type stadium.
Now, mate, just the Wallabies versus England. We're going to be chatting about that, me and Jimmy, after the upcoming break. But I want to get your opinion on a piece of it quickly. You mentioned Jed Holloway there, and as I said, he's been the buy of the season for the Waratahs. Looking at the locks for the Wallabies, Nick Frost, Jed Holloway, who else has been performing? Isaac Rodder. Brilliant for the Force.
Darcy Swain's been decent.
Darcy Swain, Angus Blythe, Rory Arnold. We've only got three overseas players we can pick, but Rory Arnold, goodness me, he's something special. And anyway, the locks. Who would you, if you're picking the locks right now, who are you leaning towards for the Wallabies? Just to put you on the spot.
Yeah. I'm not a coach.
who have you liked?
Yeah, I think also some of you left out Matt Phillips as well.
Yes.
He's been performing at a test level for a while.
Every one of those names is in contention.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. Well, with the thing that as well, Jed can also, he's well capable to play back row as well. So he's going to be a real good asset for the Wallabies, whether it be starting off the bench, he can really cover back row, eight, one side or a lock. So, and Rory Arnold, like you said, briefly got to play with him at the end of last year, and he's obviously experienced throughout the lineup more and stuff like that. Is really good for the team, so he'll be somewhere in the mix for sure. And then, Rodder is obviously experienced as well, and like you said, Matt Phillips, his attacking game is great.
All good problems to have, Swinno. All good problems to have.
I'll let you guys pick a team that you're going to pick.
Hey, Swinno, thanks so much for joining us on SEN this morning, mate. And, from all of us here, we're wishing you a speedy recovery and we can't wait to see you at the World Cup next year with that shoulder in full check and, putting some people back in a gold jersey.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, mate. Thank you for your insights.
Have a good one. That's Lockie Swinton from the New South Wales Waratahs and the Wallabies. You're on SEN with myself, Jimmy Galvin and James Nielsen this morning. We'll be back right after the break.
Join the conversation. Call 1300 01 1170 or text 0457 736 736. You're listening to The Show and Go with Jimmy Galvin and Drew Mitchell on SEN.
Welcome back to The Show and Go on SEN. No Drew Mitchell today. We've got him up here in our television. He's up on the wide world of sports today. But you know what? I'm joined by the great man, James Nielsen.
Thank you.
Mate, it is time to talk Wallabies, and we like talking Wallabies, don't we? We've seen plenty of good stuff from our Aussie sides this year. Let's talk about who we are going to put out there for the England series that's coming up sooner than we think. Kicking off, we had a great chat with Lockie Swinton just then about our locks and second rows, and we've got depth there for the first time in a very long time. May not have as much depth, and I know we were talking about this off air, is in the 10 spot for the Wallabies in at 5/8 there. If James O'Connor's injured, do we bring in Quade Cooper, and as he is the incumbent 10 at the moment, or do you take a chance on Noah Lolesio again?
Look, it's a hard one, isn't it? I think the safe answer is you've got to bring back Cooper, right? Test level. You look at England squad and Jones, it's very much going for a balance of experience and blooding young players with a view to the World Cup. Mm-hmm. I think we have to make sure that we're looking beyond England as well to the World Cup. And we have to have some extra options besides Quade and James, right?
Yeah.
I mean, journeymen, but they're at the tail end of their careers. But then... Who else has really been stepping up and putting their hand up for it? I mean, you can't just be an also-ran. Like, Noah, I haven't seen a huge amount from him.
Well, you know who is in the mix that was in the Wallabies camp at the start of the year was Ben Donaldson.
Yeah.
Who can fill in at 10. He's shown he can play fullback at the moment as well. He's got a big raking kick.
But I think that's telling, what you've just said. He can fill in at 10.
He's more filling in at fullback at the moment for the Tars.
Yeah, he's a big boy. But we don't. Where are our out and out tens?
Mm.
I mean, we're
Tane Edmund, good example of someone's coming through, but just not quite ready.
Yeah, probably. But maybe the experience is good for him.
Yeah,
baptism of fire.
Yeah.
If you've got him backing up Cooper, get him in the squad together. We heard brilliant things about Cooper in the lead up to the Wallabies test. Earlier, beyond his performances on the field, just how good he was around the squad. And weeks he was around the squad and wasn't getting a start, and there was no guaranteed start. Maybe it's a case of blooding some new guys, but I think you definitely have to have Cooper in the squad or a playing O'Connor, if he's fit, to guide these new blokes, because England are going... Goodness me,
they're
going
to be
a baptism of fire, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Imagine your first test against being against England. Like, good God.
Yeah. Well, the first one is at Perth on the 2nd of July, which will come around really quickly. Look, when you have a look at the England squad, where we are lacking depth, they are absolutely thriving in that 10 position with Marcus Smith, who is, if he's fit, he's starting and probably playing 80 minutes each game.
Yeah. We got Smith, and he's been... He's been electric, right? And he's a similar mould, almost sacrilege to say, but Dan Carter. I mean, can run the ball, can ball player as well, can kick. I don't know about his defence, though. I haven't watched a lot of the rugby over there, but what I have, sometimes I see him not defending up in the line, or almost like what we did with Quade a couple of years ago. So I could be wrong. I could be completely wrong. But
I just
see
the way he attacks the line with ball in hand. He keeps all options on the table as he gets to the line.
Yeah. And they've also got Henry, what's his name? Henry Arundel,
who you heard he's likened to Jones, early Matt Giddo style.
Jones blooded Giddo very young. Remember back in 2002. Now Jones likened him to Giddo in his attacking style, in that he likes to attack, not necessarily his playing style, but he likes to attack the line. Some other headaches for us there will be. I think possible test selections. Whoever they have at 10, they're going to have Owen Farrell at 12 outside him.
You just put Karevi in there, wouldn't you?
What a cool head to have outside you, like a new 10.
Yeah.
If you've got Farrell outside you. And then outside Farrell, Manu Tuolungi back in the picture, and he's devastating. I mean,
well, that's going to be an interesting one. Who's at 13 for the Wallabies?
But that's
well.
That mix of experience. Yeah. And new
for me,
blood that's coming
for
through.
For me, it's Isaiah Parisi. That's an eye to the future if you want to put that at 13. Imagine him going up against Tuolungi. Now, that is fireworks. Well, it's going to be a series.
Yeah.
And our depth is going to be tested, and so is theirs. So I'm really looking forward to it. Well, James, we'll be back after the break. We've got to have a look at these Super Rugby quarterfinals, mate.
We'll do.
See you after the break.
Join the conversation. Call 1300 01 1170 or text 0457 736 736. You're listening to The Show and Go with Jimmy Galvin and Drew Mitchell on SEN.
You're back on The Show and Go on SEN with myself, Jimmy Galvin, and fellow dribbler this week, James Nilsson. James, thanks for coming into the studio today, mate.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely loved it. It's a brilliant mind. It's a mind that works just as well as watching rugby in front of the TV as it does at the pub.
Mate, you have been pumping up my tyres all day, and I will be back any night to spend a Sunday morning like this. We need to do it on a hangover when the anxiety gremlins kicking. This would do wonders.
Why not? Well, mate, a bit of anxiety this week as a Super Rugby fan, because we're into the quarterfinals.
Yes, into the
quarterfinals. Let's have a little look at what we've got coming up next week and with what's locked in. The Crusaders versus the Reds on Friday night. The Reds will stay in Christchurch, where they played the Crusaders last week. I always I never liked playing teams back-to-back 2 weeks in a row. It's just something not fun about it.
No, I think the boys packed extra undies. I think they're probably expecting there was a fair chance I'd be seeing him again. But I'm going to take the Reds. How can I not, Queenslander? I mean, they haven't pulled it together yet this back half of the year, but hopefully they do on the weekend. I'm going to go the Reds. Passion vote.
Chiefs versus Waratahs. Well, you know where my heart sits on that one. This is a very unbiased panel this morning. I'm going the Tars over in Hamilton. I think it will be a really tough game. I think I've been surprised with the lack of crowds showing up in New Zealand this year, but I feel once we get into the quarterfinals and the Kiwi audience really wants to get behind their teams, and I know they do with the Cowbells there in Hamilton, I think it's going to be a really tough ask for the Tars to get it done, but I'm still going to go them.
I want to back the Tars as well. They've got the wood over them from the home game here. Close finish last night. They could do it. They could do it.
Brumbies versus Hurricanes, which will be down in Canberra. Lucky to hold on to their home final, the Brumbies. The Canes, after losing to the Force last night, I'm probably going to have to go with the Canes.
No, I'm going to go the Brumbies.
Okay.
It could be zero from three this time next week. But yeah, I'm going to go the Brumbies. I think hopefully the last 2 weeks will snap them out of it, give them a kick up the backside, so to speak. They've got the team to get it done, and the Canes haven't blown my skirt up, so.
Yeah. They're not. And last but not least, what's being decided today when the Rebels versus the Highlanders down in Melbourne, that will decide if the Rebels beat the Highlanders, the Western Force will go through into that final, and they'll face the top of the table Auckland Blues.
Blues.
If the Rebels lose this afternoon and the Highlanders win, it's Highlanders Blues. But let's all keep glued to our screens this afternoon, 2 p.m. on Stan Sport. You'll be able to watch that.
I don't think it matters who plays the Blues. It's going to be the Blues for that
one. We'll see. Well, let's hope we get to see the Western Force in action. Thanks for your time today, everyone listening. And James Nilsson, thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you for having me.
We'll see you next week at the same time on the Show and Go on SEN. Cheers, have a great Sunday.